welcome to the next episode of our Mental Health and Wellbeing in COVID-19 webinar series 2.0 into the extended lockdown. Today, we have good things with Carl Wastey. Carl is an award-winning radio presenter, a TV host, and an MC who works for KFM 94.5, and he's also my favorite DJ, but I'm not just saying that. Okay, we're going to get him on in a second. First, let's just do a quick recap so that anyone who's joining us knows what this webinar series is all about. And I can encourage you to go back and look at some of the old episodes. So this series is essentially aimed at providing you tools and tips and tricks and resources to help you cope with the current moment that we're in. COVID-19 has turned the world on its head. Essentially, the world we have now is not the world we had a month and a half ago. And the impact of that, the sort of collateral damage that that has brought, has gone well beyond just those of us who have contracted the virus. The anxiety, the impact that it's had on our work lives, financially for many of us, and even relationally for a lot of people. The impact is emotional, it's psychological. And this series is aimed at helping you with some tools and some resources to really lean forward into this time in a way that's gonna help you flourish. So that's what it's all about. The series is brought to you by MyGrow, the online emotional intelligence development platform. We're also making available to all of our viewers a free subscription to MyGrow so that you can go and develop and build some of these emotional competencies. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that at the end of the show. Okay, so before we dive in, a quick recap on yesterday, on the previous episode. We interviewed Skalk Poseidono, the South African comic, the actor and comedian, chatted about the positive impact on health benefits of humor, of comedy. And we got some of his perspective on how he likes to treat humor and the impact that it can have in helping us deal with trauma, even just in a moment like COVID-19. So that was in the previous webinar. If you haven't seen that, make sure you go have a look at that. It was a great chat with him. Okay, today, as I said, good things with Carl Wastey. What are we doing? We're going to have a brief reminder of some of the power of positive psychology and positive emotions. And then I'm going to give you a short overview of a technique, an emotional intelligence technique called the three good things technique. Phenomenal, phenomenal, phenomenal technique. Life-changing, really is. It's the first technique we use on MyGrow, and we hear from our clients time and time again how much of an impact this has. So we're going to look at it today, and then we're going to have a chat with Carl, and I'm going to put him through his paces and see if he can find the good things in his life. We'll get there in a second. Okay, so brief overview of the power of positive emotion. I can't go back and give you a proper recap of all the different things that we've covered in the series till now. There've been many, many episodes. We will put some notes in the comments and links back to previous episodes. But you may remember us talking about this the story with the two dogs, and the one dog would win the dog fight, and then the other one would win. And essentially, the dog that wins was the dog that the old fisherman fed, or the one that he fed the most. And we talked about that and likened that to the cycle of emotional addiction. We talked about how cells that fire together wire together in our brain, and that this neural architecture begins to build up because our thoughts are electrical frequencies that become emotions at the synapse, and they become chemicals at that point. And the way we see the world starts building up certain neural pathways in our brain that get reinforced. So if you see the world a certain way, or you see your spouse a certain way, the default is to continue doing that because cells that fire together wire together. We chatted about upregulation and everything, but I'm already going into too much detail. Go and look at that previous episode to get more on that. We did talk, of course, about the fact that you can reverse engineer that, because cells that fire together wire together. So you can reverse engineer that into positive emotion. And we chatted a lot about Barbara Fredrickson's broaden and build theory and the studies that she did. Showing that if we can get into these upward spirals of positive emotion instead of the negative downward spirals, we really can increase and broaden the resources we have to cope with the world, to cope with life, to cope with a moment like this. One of the things we mentioned there is the thought action repertoire. She did a study where she induced negative emotion in one group of people through video clips, and then positive emotion in another group of people through different video clips. And then she gave them a problem and said, what solutions can you think of? What actions can you take to solve this problem? And the people who had positive emotion induced in them were way higher on the charts of how many ideas they could come up with. Their thought action repertoire was way bigger than the ones who had had negative emotion. Now, the world, as we've said, is completely upside down right now. Now's the time for innovation. Now's the time for unlocking our imaginations. Many of us are people who are business owners, and we need to figure out how we're going to run, how we're going to pivot and have new products and change what we do as a business, change our offering. We've had to reimagine what work life looks like. Now's the time for innovation and imagination. And if we have positive emotions, we're going to have a broader repertoire of things that we can think of. So essentially, positives will help us to flourish, and being able to build and maintain a positive perspective on life is going to help us to flourish. If we get sucked into these cycles, these downward cycles, and get sucked into the negativity, we're not going to be able to be as innovative and as imaginative. We've chatted, and many people say this, it's a bit of a sort of a popular phrase in pop psychology that the mind is like Velcro for negatives, but Teflon for positives. The negatives just stick there. You know, someone might say the smallest little thing and we'll ruminate on that negatively for weeks or months. But then the compliment, it's water for duck's back, we forget about it. So because of that, it takes about 10 times longer for positives to actually stick in our psyche, for them to actually take root. And if we want that to happen, we literally need to stew in positives. We need to marinate in positives if we want them to impact us. And that's where a technique like the three good things technique is so, so powerful. Because what it does is it makes you focus on the positives in your life. So let me tell you how the technique works. Essentially, there's two steps, or at least the entry level has two steps. Number one, write down three good things from your day. That's easy enough. Well, it gets easier the more you do it. Number two, write down why they were able to happen. Not why they were good. This is where many people get this wrong. Don't tell me why they're good. Tell me why they were able to happen. Or tell yourself why they were able to happen. So let's give an example. A good friend of mine phoned me last night and we had a great chat. Good thing in my life. Why was it able to happen? Well, it was able to happen because we value each other. We've invested in our relationship to the point that when he calls, I don't just ignore him. We have a good relationship. It's come from years and years of investment. As soon as you start thinking that through and trying to pull out all the reasons why, you give yourselves the time to marinate in the positives, and you start seeing the impact of that relationship, in this sense, in this case, well beyond just one phone call that I happened to have with him last night. No, this is a guy I can rely on. This is a guy who's got my back. This is a guy who cares about me. I remember a number of different phone calls where he's called me at different times, even when I've reached out for help in certain things. So as soon as we stew in it, we realize our life is full of a good thing, this good friend. And there's many other examples. That's just one. So Seligman was doing this technique with a lot of his clients. And they all came back and said, this is life-changing. This is a life-changing technique. And we must say at Migra, we've experienced the same thing. A lot of our clients come back and say how transformative this is. So he said, okay, let's do a proper study of this thing to make sure that this is actually working. Got a group of people, split them into two random groups, made the one group do a placebo technique each day, just write down a memory from your childhood. Then the other group, they had to do this technique, as I've explained it. And then they tracked them over, you know, they did a pre-reading, then they post the test, then a week after, a month after, 3 months and 6 months. And look at these results. The three good things group, the group that did it properly, they had this massive increase in their happiness levels compared to the placebo group, which had a brief little spike at the beginning, but then pretty much just went back down to normal. Now, bear in mind, they only did this for a week. It was a week-long trial, but they measured them for up to 6 months later. Even 6 months later, those guys in the three good things group, their happiness levels had increased and were still increasing. Then they measured the depressive symptoms as well. Now look here again, the three good things group, they had a decrease, pretty massive decrease in their depressive symptoms compared to the placebo group, who had a slight decrease, but not too much. So as we can see from this study, this is a super, super, super powerful technique, and it has been really widely taken up around the world by everyone in the positive psychology space, and people see the benefit. And as I said, a lot of our clients see that benefit too. Okay, so there's a brief overview of some effects of positive psychology and the impact of this kind of technique. Let's get our guest on for today. So Carl has a degree in psychology. He's not just coming to this as someone who's sympathetic to the ideas. He actually is trained in this field as well, and he has a passion for people. I mentioned earlier he's my favorite DJ. We used to have offices in town, and I live in the southern suburbs here in Cape Town, and I had like a 40-minute drive home every day, and I used to listen to the flash drive and the team and the laughter and the joking. One of the highlights of my day. Recently, we've moved offices just around the corner here, and I no longer get to hear, well, I listen to about 5 minutes of the show. So I love that I don't have to drive far, but the downside is that I don't get to listen to him. Now, the reason I say he's one of my favorite DJs is because I think he's actually, he is so quick with the listeners. He's so quick. He's got that witty, like, kind of pun twist in everything he does. But the reason I really love him is because he's so, not just positive, you know, it's not just that he's positive, but he's happy. He's happy, he's friendly. There is such a positive vibe that comes from him, you know, through him in his show and his team. So let's get him on. Carl, can you hear me? Are you there, buddy? Wastey. There you go, the tears, eh? The tears.
It's the stuff that you said about me.
You know what, dude? It's all true.
Wow, man. Gee whiz, you're trying to get me all emotional before we chat. Well done.
I believe in emotions. No, but seriously, I think the impact that you have in your show is super helpful. I know one of your approaches is you try to think of the impact you're having as psychology. Tell me more about that.
That's great. Well, obviously, you mentioned that psychology was my first passion, believe it or not. Yeah. And then I was studying, but I mean, when I studied psychology, I had a lot of things going on in my life. I was a breadwinner for my family. I was a very, very young breadwinner. So I had to take a gap year after matric, worked 6 jobs, managed to stay positive enough for a listener. When I say a listener, I mean a video shop customer to come through because I worked in a video shop. Yeah. And this woman came, she said, how is it that you can, you know, not be on the streets smoking with your other people your age? Why do you have to, you know, why are you here dedicating 12 hours of every single day of your life doing this? And I told her what my cause was. And then she offered me a bursary to study what my passion was, which is psychology.
Sure.
psychology, that's what UCT called it, but I had to change it. And then I just had to study this thing because I really love human emotion and I love people so much. And I wanted to know what their cause was. I think that the biggest catalyst for me picking something like psychology over architecture or accounting or nuclear physics, which was my second option, whatever. But I wanted to know, you know, my mom used to drive me to soccer practice and she'd have this little yellow Mazda and there would be like a taxi that would cut her off. And I'd always wonder, why is she shouting at the taxi? Because I know for a fact that the taxi driver will never hear what she is saying to him or her, which tells me that she is using energy that will never ever go to a place where she can feel like there's a resolution to that emotion.
Okay.
And I was wondering, like, why is it that we do that all the time? And then I dug deeper as a young man, and I thought, it's so interesting that the world is quite violent, yet our upbringing, when we did something wrong, the first thing that would happen is that you get a hiding.
Yeah.
You'd get a smack. So essentially, our first interaction with a resolution would be violence. And now we blame ourselves for like, what's wrong with me? Why am I getting so angry all the time? And then I wanted to venture into it. And a lot of the journey that I took in terms of studying was finding out what emotional intelligence is. Yeah. And that's really what really grabbed me and got me. The radio thing popped in my last year when someone walked into a club that I was an MC at and they said, you should try radio. And then I gave it a shot and I became a sport presenter at another station and worked my way up the ranks and now I'm a sort of presenter on an afternoon drive show and a talk show. So that's how the radio journey happened. But my first love is psychology. And the reason why psychology came into play is because I wanted to take my love for radio and my love for psychology and put them together in something that's very tongue-in-cheek, lighthearted, and allows music to be a therapeutic mechanism to try and help as many people as I can. Because you're on radio, I know it's all fun and games, but I really am a servant to a listener. And if you're going through something at work, I need to be cognizant of that and try and offer you an escape, a therapy, a song, just an alternative to the things you're going to right now. So that's why psychology was born every Monday after 6 o'clock.
So give me some practical examples of how that plays out for you as you play this role of DJ/psychologist on the radio. Like, I mean, maybe I'm just asking you to repeat what you've said. I don't know. Take it any direction you'd like. But what does it play? How does that play out for you in terms of the persona you present or the need that you imagine? And I don't mean that in a negative sense, but the need that you intuit out there. How does that impact the way you do your job?
Well, I know that. I know it's radio. And it seems like like any other entertainment medium where you just have to be a funny guy or you have to be a shock jock or you have to sound amazing. You know, there's always these expectations in any industry. But the most impact that radio's ever had on me was when at another station I was doing something called The Teen Show, and it was just for youth. And on our SMS line at the time, we didn't have a WhatsApp line then, there was a little message that came through and said, like, you saved my life today. For some reason, I mean, sometimes people say that when I play Bon Jovi, you know, but this was something else. This is something deeper. And I called the person back and I said, hey, thanks a lot for listening. You messaged me and you said, I saved your life today. What do you mean? And it was somebody who was in their room contemplating whether or not to end their own life. Yeah. And for some reason, this person felt so connected to me because I was the only thing in her room that she could listen to that was out there, but funnily enough, in her space. And it was in that moment that I realized that it's the intimacy of radio that really actually connects you to one person at a time, which means that every single thing you say is not impacting 920,000 people. You know, you get these statistics and the listenership figures. You're not affecting all of those people. You're affecting one person at a time.
Yeah.
And that's what makes me very careful of every little thing that I say on radio. Because sometimes there will be something to rile a little thought up, or maybe just to kind of evoke an emotion of happiness when it comes to a song I play or something I say or a little joke that I drop on the radio. But what really got to me was that little moment with that one person. And it taught me about the impact of just being on a platform this massive. That you have to really watch what you say as often as you can. And also, you also have to look after yourself, because you're going to get a lot of people coming through who have a lot of different problems. And essentially, a lot of the people who are in my position are micro-psychologists, because you're getting a lot of people on your WhatsApp line, a lot of callers that come through, everybody with different walks of life, everybody with different narratives. And you have to all feed that in and then still try and respond in a way that's entertaining, informative, and, you know, just more importantly, authentic.
Yeah.
So the way I do what I do and what the way I bring in psychology, it's always with that one person in mind. And it could be you. It could be the girl that SMS'd me when I was doing that show all those years back. It could be anybody who is at the brink. How am I to conduct myself in a way that's going to make a positive change to that person's day, especially doing an afternoon drive show where somebody has spent the entire day hustling, commuting, getting into an office, going to a job they don't like, an argument with a spouse in the morning, and now they have to come and drive, you know, with me in the afternoon. Am I going to give you more bad news? No. Am I going to give you something that allows you to feel companionship? Yes.
Sure.
And that's how I do my job.
Well, dude, that's amazing. I think that's such a, I mean, honorable sounds like a bit of a trite word to use, but such an honorable way to handle the moment that you have, the platform that you have. So thanks so much for that. As someone who has an interest in EQ, and I know that in your own life, you spend a lot of time trying to invest in staying positive and keeping the positive impact. What do you do or what could you recommend to our listeners to do in this moment right now as we're dealing with stuff that is, you know, raising anxiety for many of us, perhaps is really sort of niggling some of those pre-existing, dynamics that we have, maybe depression or depressive symptoms. What piece of advice can you give? What do you do? What do you recommend others should do?
At this point, I think that a lot of people who are in lockdown have to face themselves. And I think that it's opening a lot of cans in a lot of people's lives, cans that they were not prepared for nor trained for. And that's something that I'm very sensitive of when delivering whatever piece of advice that I have for you now. But I do think that this particular time has now put emphasis on our value system. in terms of what we deem as valuable in ourselves. So in terms of me, I work in an industry, and I must just tell you that it's an industry that is constantly under scrutiny, and there's a lot of criticism. There's a lot of negativity coming through the WhatsApp line at every turn. Everybody has an opinion, and not everybody's going to agree with your opinion on any topic. And that is the reality. It's kind of like the world, to be honest with you. And the key to this is that I need to accept and acknowledge when I receive any sort of negativity. But I also have a choice to bring it in. Like this lockdown, I would love to go and take a drive. Honestly, I love Franschhoek. I love Hermanus. I love driving. It's my thing. West Coast. And I can't do that right now. So something that I love is now being stopped. But the value that I take from that particular thing when I take a drive, that doesn't go away just because I can't do it. Because I think about that particular thing that I do, it's triggering a certain value, a certain thing that I enjoy. It's triggering that. Yeah. However, the reason why I can enjoy it is because it's there already. It's that the reason why I love driving is because I get to see new things. Why do I like seeing new things? It's because I really enjoy learning. Why do I like learning? Because I think that when you're learning, you're growing. And why do you need to grow? Because once again, your value system gets enriched.
Yeah.
So when you're spending time with yourself, the way I can deal with this is just knowing that everything that is negative is really temporary. And I know that positivity is consistent in my life. And I know that when I look at something, I get to reframe it in a way that makes it positive for myself. Mm. If somebody cuts me off in traffic, I'm not necessarily going to say, gee whiz, why am I having such a bad day? What I will say is that maybe that driver is having the day of his life where it's terrible. And the people in the back seats there, they are just being terrible with him. So he's taken an opportunity and possibly used his power incorrectly, but that's his thing. But it's not my day that's bad. I just got cut off in traffic. Yes. So I think that this time, I think use this time to reframe what this means to you. What does this lockdown mean to you at the moment? Does it mean I can't do the stuff that I love? Or does it mean that I can find new stuff to love?
Yeah.
And maybe new stuff to love about yourself as well.
You are clearly an expert in how to frame things positively. Okay, I told everyone at the beginning we were going to do a technique. I'm going to walk you through. I'm going to put you through your paces, as I said. You're a positivity veteran. So let's see how you do. Okay, Carl. So tell me, today, give me three good things that happened. Let's do them one at a time. What is a good thing that happened for you today?
Today, I had the motivation to get up and I did, right, a kilometer run in my backyard.
Okay, awesome. Why was that thing able to happen?
So the day before, I was going to do the same thing. But then I didn't wake up early enough. And by the time I woke up, I went into a Zoom meeting. And then that particular Zoom meeting stopped me from doing that run in the backyard. However, today I was motivated and nothing stopped me. I put the beacons down in the backyard. I measured out what I had 8x6. I had to do some mathematics, which is something I haven't done in a while. Got the mathematics going so I can still do maths. Bling, positive. And I ran a kilometer in the backyard, sweated a bit, got the heart rate going, put on a t-shirt today that I thought didn't fit, but thanks to that run, perhaps some of the layers of lockdown fat were allowing me to wear this t-shirt, and that's the positive thing that happened. That's the first one today.
Okay, before we move on, what I love about that is how you know, a lot of people, when they do this technique, they just answer it with one thing. You know, here's my good thing, and this is why. And you did it just now with the driving as well, actually. You go down this rabbit hole. Why is this good? And then this, and then what, and then this, and it sort of builds and it snowballs. This is what Barbara Fredrickson speaks about with this upward positive spiral with a broaden and build. So I love that you did that. And you could keep doing it, you know, not just because you're someone who can wax lyrical, but this is a skill that people can learn to actually see how each thing has so many layers of goodness behind it. One of the examples I often give is that a good thing is like a tree or a plant. And the reason that is able to be there is because of the nutrients in the soil. and the water and the sunlight. But those things don't just feed this tree. They feed the tree next door and the tree next door. So the good things that sort of are be, or the, you know, every good thing we have is other good things behind it. Okay, let's do a second one. Tell me something else. What else happened today? A good thing from today.
Well, when you said you're going to call me, I put on a suit. It's letting you know, a whole suit.
It's not a whole suit.
Top to bottom. Okay, I didn't do the shirt thing, but the shirt fits me now. Thank you. But I got to wear a suit today because I just figured, you know, obviously I take these interviews very seriously. No, I'm just kidding. I do take the content seriously. However, I just wanted to look good for this particular moment. And I put on a suit today and it made me feel so good because I think there's something about a suit where when it's on you, it kind of, you have a different swagger about you though, because this could have been an interview with my hoodie and what I was wearing to bed last night, as in like the little bit of a jump shorts thing. I don't want to get into it right now, but.
Or your running gear from this morning.
That's correct. Yeah, and yeah. I got to wear a suit thanks to you. So
okay, so so you sort of mentioned some of the why in there as well, but let's dive in. Let's unpack why. Why was this able to happen? Why were you able to wear a good suit today?
Well, what I like is that the suit, it reminded me of very productive business meetings that I used to go to. So when I do the MC gigs, etc., you put on a suit and you go meet the client. And there's something really great about that because it shows you that you have respect for the person that you are actually going to meet, because you want to look good for them and you want to make sure that you are put together and you want to represent yourself in the best way possible. So I wore a suit today and I am appreciative of the opportunity to wear a suit. And what it does for me is there's a confidence to it. And also there's that reminiscing of going out to a client meeting where I could wear a suit, have a productive meeting, get the job, do an amazing MC gig, and then just have that feeling that I've been a good service to that particular cause. And that could be a whatever company it is, their end of year function, staff were happy and rewarded on the tough year.
Okay. So here we go. Are you ready for some tough feedback? Okay. I'm going to give you an 8 out of 10 for the first one. This one, I'm going to give you a 5 out of 10. Do you know why? Because you answered why it was good. Like the more you went into it, you were talking about why this is good, but this is where this technique is so tough, to answer why was it able to happen. So now what I'm doing with you right now is actually what our EQ technique coaches do on the Migro platform. You do your techniques on the platform and then you get coached through it. So I'm just going to coach you. I'm going to give you some input there. Not that it's in any way bad or negative for you to be thinking through more and more good things about it. Yeah, take notes. But this is where the subtlety of the why was it able to happen gets a little bit tricky. So was it able to happen because I have it, maybe to reframe some of what you were saying, because I have a respect for other people. You know what I mean? It's a slight tweaking. I have a respect for other people, so I'm going to get dressed. I'm going to look better than the presenter who's interviewing me. I don't know what that says about my respect for others. But anyway, it's just a slight tweak on that. Secondly, why was it able to happen? Well, maybe it was able to happen because you have the finance to be able to buy good clothes. That is finance. That is it's financial freedom. That is goes well beyond just suits. It goes into every other aspect of life. Let me think. Why else was it able to happen? It was able to happen because I wasn't rushed and stressed just before this interview and didn't have time to change because I'm on top of my workload for the day. I know you're probably planning your show for later, but you're on top of your work, so you weren't stressed, so you were in control of what you were going to wear. Do you see the subtle differences of what I'm doing with your good?
Yes, I completely. I suppose there's this. Sometimes you look at something that I gave you, and I know that the first one had deeper meaning because it spoke to exercise and exercise directly, you know, biologically affecting me in terms of fitness. But this one was more aesthetic because it's a suit that I would wear. And I told you about why I like. So the respect that I would have in terms of going to a meeting with a suit, kind of tell the person that I'm serious about what they are talking about. And I have enough thinking to say I would to look good for this opportunity.
You can apply for a remark. I'll remark that one.
So, no, I'm just giving you like an idea of the
thought process.
The thought process behind wearing a suit today, why it's a positive thing, is that it there was something very, very great about the confidence. And while I completely agree with, it's great to have the income, but obviously the more you get to know me, the more you realize that it's things like income and that sort of thing that are less important to me than experiences that you would have. And I know income does allow for opportunities and experiences to happen in your own life, and that's important. But there was just something about the suit today and the fact that I could give you this, and come out and just say, you know, it's great. And the cool thing is I did not have a lot of time to get done today.
You didn't. So you mean you had a lot to do and you didn't have a lot of time to do it.
But then I still got it done.
Still got it
for
done
you.
Because you are a machine.
No, I did it so cool that I could still, because there was an option. I will be honest. There was a hoodie and the hoodie was clean. Big thing for me. Okay. The hoodie was clean and there was a comfy pants, but I thought, why not just wear a suit? You're chatting to a pro and somebody who is just, you work in a field that is a field started out wanting to work in and still do and still kind of skim the outside of it. And I think that's the whole respect angle from my side is that. Yeah.
No, I love it. I love
that. I think that was a really, you know, that nuance was such a great aspect to how you would do this technique. Anyway, we don't really have time to do a third one because we're running over time here. And I know you want you want a tiebreaker. You want a chance to... I hope I wasn't too harsh on your second one. I wasn't meaning that at all.
No, it's cool. It's great to know what I need to think about. And it's those nuances as well. And that's the great thing. Learning, growing, the road analogy earlier, it's the truth.
Yeah, and I'm putting you through what our users on MyGrow go through when they get coached around how to do these techniques. So, as I said before, we've made this available to everyone who's been tuning into this webinar. So no doubt a number of our listeners have already been doing this technique and getting maybe some feedback and trying to figure out how to you know, do it better. Anyway, Carl, thank you so much for being willing to be part of this today. I think we need to wrap things up because I told our viewers we weren't going to be going this long anymore. But every time I interview someone, we chat forever. Anyway, thank you so much for being part of this.
All good. No, it's all good. Here's my response.
Awesome. Okay. If you are tuning in for the first time, please make sure you go and sign up for that free trial. You can go to mygrow.me. There's a little tab at the top right. You can connect there and you can download. There's also free resources and a whole bunch of different tools that we've made available throughout this webinar series, and you can get them on the platform as well as you can see all the old episodes and reruns, as well as on our Facebook and YouTube channel. So you may be going through this alone, you may be in lockdown with others, but we're all in this together. And regardless of our different experiences, we can all train ourselves to see the positives, to allow that impact in our own mental health and emotional well-being during this time. Thank you so much. I will see you in the next episode.